Kei te whakarongo koe ki te wire, marunga irirangi pō.
The Wire.
Yeah, you're tuned into The Wire on 95BFM. Scholar Elizabeth Kerikeri argues that pre-colonial Māori were sexually experimental people who openly accepted gender and sexual fluidity. Anyone who didn't fit into heterosexuality was considered takatāpui. I spoke with Elizabeth earlier to find a little bit more about the concept of takatāpui and its meaning to Māori.
You've just represented the Greens in the race for Ikaroa Rāwhiti seat. While completing your PhD thesis on takatāpui existing in pre-colonial Aotearoa. Impressive. I was hoping to just sort of start off, would you be able to tell me a little bit about the term takatāpui and what it means?
Sure. It's an ancient Māori word. It was found in the writings of Te Rangi Kāheke, who wrote in the early 1800s. But it's and from the story of Hinemo Tutanikai and Siki, it means intimate companion of the same sex. So it was found about 30-odd years ago in those writings, and it was then kind of given to our communities to use. So in my work and my advocacy and in my writing, I am promoting the use of the term as that it's a reclaimed term which we use to embrace all Māori with diverse sexes, genders, sexualities and sex characteristics. So that includes everybody who's lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex and queer. So the short answer is all Māori who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, intersex and queer.
It's cool. So, I mean, you say that you're reclaiming the term. Was it? How long has this term been around for?
Centuries.
Right.
The story of Hinemo and Tutanikai is dated around the 1300s. So it's an old, old term.
So how does it fit in to the story of Hinemo and Tutanikai?
So when Hinemo and Tutanikai got together, he already had a type of relationship with his best friend, Siki. And when Hinemo and Tutanikai got together, he said that he was missing him. He was dying for love for his hua takatāpui, his takatāpui friend. And so there's kind of two major things we take from them. One, it's a form of endearment as opposed to an identity. So we're not saying that people back in that time or ever since said, I'm takatāpui, therefore I'm this or that. Not at all. We're taking it from that place. And so that when that occurred, when he used that term, and he went to his father to say that, they arranged for his best friend then to marry Hinemo's sister so that they could all be together. And so it was, yeah, we're taking from it that it clearly is a type of a term of endearment, close to whaiaipo, which means like sweetheart, darling, but clearly it's specifically for people of the same sex.
It's cool. I mean, when I was like a kid and we were taught about the story, we were never taught about that aspect of it. I mean, why do you think that is?
Oh, I think, I mean, Hinemo Tutanikai, it's one of the greatest love stories. Mm. And so there's all sorts of reasons for it, that they want to keep just that part of it. Mm. And
I mean, I guess it's important looking forward probably to teach it.
To takatāpui. And so I suppose that would be a decision for, I think it's part of a broader discussion that says, and part of my work is recognising that a lot of this subject matter, the stories were suppressed as part of the suppression of sexuality generally. The fact that we were sex positive and all the records from the first contacts in this country prove that. And so there's been a lot of things and a lot of stories that have been covered over, deleted, changed over time. And so I guess this is just a small part of that, the same sex, the gender fluidity also hidden. And a big part of this, gradually, we love for that to be in the mainstream and that's just a normal thing that's taught in school, along with the treaty and, you know, universal te reo. And a lot of my work is within our own communities too, especially in the area of suicide prevention and identity, where especially our young people are trying to figure out who they are in relation to being Māori, in relation Absolutely. To being diverse. And so the key thing that I want to be able to show is actually we have been around for centuries.
Yeah, yeah.
Our behaviour, who we are, is a key part. It's just a normal part of being Māori. And these terms, the more we can find little suggestions and little things, because we know it was changed and hidden, we have to go searching for them. And I guess that's what I wanted to be able to do. And the reason I did it as a PhD was to provide a base of evidence, but also to have the full backing behind the universal, the institution behind my findings, the Māori Department at Victoria, that is saying, actually, yep, this is solid and real research. So for the people that want to turn around and go, I don't think it means that, it's going, you're welcome to your opinion.
Yeah. So, I mean, in terms of, in your thesis, what did you find in terms of colonisation's effects on sexuality?
There's already been a lot of work done in terms of the impact of Māori women, the subjugation of Māori women, but also the agency of our women, of how we kind of fought back and have continued to do so. So I didn't want to try and replicate any of that. I wanted to kind of pull together what we know, what instances of takatāpu have already been researched, and almost all historical work that we have was done by Ngāhui e te awa kōtuku. So I wanted to add to that. I wanted to look in an area that others hadn't looked before, but was something that I knew a little bit about and was interested in terms of whakatauki, our proverbs and sayings. And so that was, I just wanted to kind of keep adding to it, and in a complete belief that there would be something there for me to find.
What did you find?
So in that, I actually found several that particularly to do with polyamory, surprisingly. But so it ended up that most of the things that I found were to do with sexual activity.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that we have a lot of material generally about heterosexual activity. So it wasn't that I was necessarily looking for that. I was looking for the gaps. I was looking for where things had been changed or hidden. And that was always a flag for me, or areas even where something was that people refused to translate it. So I thought, oh, this will be in my area then.
Mm.
And it generally was. So the particular whakatauki that I did a lot of work around is one called Ngā Kōrero Ahi Ahi Ahinefa. So Kōrero Ahi Ahi is a phrase that just translated means talks in the evening or talks around the fire in the evening. And so I was through, I'm also an artist, and so I decided to use my kind of artistic view of things to try and look at the imagery of the of these whakatauki, because I'm not a linguist, I'm not a fluent speaker, and I.
But I mean, the point of the language is to visualize it at the same time.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. We're oral people. We're visual people.
Yeah.
We told our stories in different ways, and so I was brought up to read Māori art, to read a meeting house, to read carvings and tukutuku. So I thought, if I can do that, then I apply that kind of thinking and interpretation to it and let the stories come to me, then that's what I would find. So this particular one, by using the process that I developed, then I came to the fact that it's clearly about sex between two or more women. And so I have found other ones as well about polyamory, and a couple of ones about male sexual activity between men. So I'm going to do some more work in that. But just very recently, just last weekend, I found a carving that appears to be an ancestor who is intersex. It's both male and female.
Hmm.
And so these things are right there, but we have to have a way of looking at them.
Yeah.
And our ancestors have hidden them and preserved them for us to find.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they wasn't accepted. And so that's our job, is to do the detective work and find them.
Yeah, I saw that you said that the Māori weren't ashamed and didn't believe in any of this to be wrong.
You gave
the example of the missionary William Yeats.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, all of those court cases, and the Māori were like, "What's the problem?"
Yeah. Like he was an embarrassment to the church because he was engaging in mutual masturbation, but the Māori were like, "That no, it's all good."
Yeah, it's just sex, people.
Yeah,
it's consensual. So yeah, there's and the other thing too, like a big part of it was wanting to add to that historical record. But a big part of my thesis was looking at what are the issues facing takatāpui today, and so the people I interviewed, and just so that I could lay a basic groundwork around kind of key areas that are happening now, and so that could springboard off other work that we're doing in the area of violence, in the area of suicide prevention, but also all the great things that we have. I always want to balance. Yes, there are issues. Yes, there are very not cool things going on in this world and to our people. But as our ancestors did, and as we have always done, is we have agency, we have creativity, we have innovation, and we aren't victims. In this, we are survivors, and we have many, many ways in which we can build community, build support, and bring all that creativity to bear on the issues that face us.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw Rainbow Youth have recently released the second resource on Takatapui called Growing Up Takatapui Whānau Journeys, to engage families in their child's journey. So have you worked with them on that at all?
Yes, I wrote that.
Oh, did you? Oh, well. Awesome.
Thank you. That was my second resource. And so the first one was kind of laying the groundwork in Takatapui. It had kind of the major findings from my research up to that stage. Then and it was funny because I'd finished my PhD a little bit earlier this year, and I was able to, and the book was published, and the findings from the research to do with that, and I snuck that into my thesis right at the last minute.
awesome. I mean, it's as a resource, it's fully available for anyone through Rainbow Youth.
Absolutely, those available free that will be posted to you by Rainbow. You can contact them directly. The first resource is also available through Mental Health Foundation, also free. And I can say that we are working on the third one now, and that's a focus on healthy relationships. So it has a core of Takatapui, it branches out to look at some of the other issues that are going on in our community.
It's an awesome way to honour Māori culture and ideas around gender and sexuality, having the word. I mean, there's been a lot of talk lately with the Rainbow Youth campaign, if it's not gay, it's not gay. And it's you look at current New Zealand and predominantly white New Zealand, and they can't even come to grips with the word gay. They can't even, give that word the respect that it deserves.
Absolutely.
So it's really awesome to have this Takatapui saying you're significant and it's part of your Māoriness.
Exactly. And that's, we know from Mental Health Foundation, when the first resource came out, told us it was the fastest moving resource they've ever had. We
Amazing.
Had to get funding to reprint it. They just flew off the shelves. And so that's exciting. Then I'm meeting up with people who've claiming Takatapui's identity based on those resources. So that's really, really exciting, because that's what we want to be able to say, is that it's awesome, but it's also just kind of normal.
Why should New Zealanders care so much about this?
Because your children will curse you if you don't.
The Wire.